Okay, so while everyone finds it on Rishon and Gimel. So again, so we ended off yesterday discussing the Ramban about how could it be in one moment they're crying out to Hashem and in the next moment they're complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Ramban gave us three different approaches, I think, right? One is that there were conflicting groups. Some people were davening and some people were complaining. And then we said some people were davening to Hashem, but they suspected Moshe that who is this guy? Maybe Moshe's in this for some ulterior motive. But the third pshat, which I think is on a certain level the one that resonates with me the most, is that, and I'm sure many of us, is that you could be davening and questioning at the same time. Right? They were davening, but when they saw that their tefillos weren't working, so they let out an inner frustration and they started complaining. I just think that's very honest, no? I just think that's very real. One can have faith and also be frustrated at the same time. It's not a contradiction. Hashem runs the world in a way that we don't understand. So we can acknowledge Hashem and still feel frustrated or confused by the way that Hashem chooses to run His world. Okay. All right. So let's go on. So Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Tesvav. Okay, so there's davening taking place. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ma titzak elai. Daver al b'nei Yisrael vayiso. Very, very strange pasuk. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you crying out to me? Ma titzak elai. Why are you crying out to me? Rashi says, we see from here that Moshe apparently was davening. Because again, it didn't tell us specifically that Moshe was davening. It didn't specifically tell us in the pasuk that Moshe was davening. To go back to, again, yesterday's pasuk, it says that Vayitzaku B'nei Yisrael cried out. So now Hashem says to Moshe, why are you that? Why are you crying out to me? Tell B'nei Yisrael to keep moving. So Rashi says, I guess Moshe was davening. You see from here that Moshe must have been davening. And Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm just reading Rashi, we'll see the Ramban in a second. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu lo eis ata laharich betfila sheyisrael nesunu betzara. Moshe, this is not a time for davening. The Jewish people are in pain, and it's time for leadership and problem solving, not davening. Which is so interesting, no? Hashem says to Moshe, stop davening, go fix the problem. I mean, I thought davening is the solution to the problem. So Hashem says, not always. Sometimes stop davening. Imagine a person, God forbid, you know, you see a person, have a heart attack, God forbid, and collapse, right? So you go off in the corner, and instead of, you know, calling 911, you take out your tehillim. So Hashem says, what are you davening? First call 911. Also davening. But you gotta help the situation first in a practical way, in an olam hazadik way. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, where's the shtablis? Tell B'nai Yisrael to move forward. Where are you sitting? Power's getting closer, so get farther. Keep moving. Now, obviously, keep moving is not so simple because they're trapped by the sea. Okay, but let's see Ramban. Ma titzak elai. Why are you crying out to me? Again, part of the underlying question is we don't see in the pasuk that Moshe was in fact davening. It says B'nai Yisrael, that B'nai Yisrael were davening. Amar Rabbi Avram says the Ibn Ezra, Ki Moshe keneged kol Yisrael. When Hashem said, Moshe, why are you davening? He was speaking really to the Jewish people. He was communicating with Moshe, but Moshe was representative of B'nai Yisrael. Shayut Salakim Lo, as the pasuk said, Kamoshe Nemar, Kamoshe Amar, V'yitzaku B'nai Yisrael, El Hashem. That doesn't sit great with us, though. Yeah, let's hear.
Maybe it's that Moshe kind of needs to, he's the leader, he needs to, like, he needs to be the leader of the Hishtabas, take the action. So Hishtabas is like, why are you davening at this moment? You should be taking action. He's also the one who, I guess, leads them to battle.
Okay, so meaning, like, why are you, meaning, even if you don't want to say, meaning you want to say, according to Ibn Ezra, that Hashem's saying to Moshe, right, and he's really talking to Claudius, so he's saying, Moshe, as the leader, you need to direct the people what they should be doing. Okay, that's a great shot. Right, because again, Moshe, we don't see, Rashi says Moshe must have been davening, that's why Hashem says, Moshe, why are you davening? Yeah, Avi.
What should the people be doing? Hashem is directing all of this change. What Hishtadlis is there for them to do in this situation?
The Hishtadlis, as presented by the Pasuk, is Daber el B'nai Yisrael va'yiso, tell B'nai Yisrael to travel forward. Now, again, Rashi says, well, you know, the sea is right in front of them. But Hashem is saying to Moshe, right, no problem. Walk through the sea. Oh, okay. I should have thought of that. Meaning, like, if we're trying to be real about it for a second, Moshe, we get what Moshe is doing. Where am I supposed to go? I don't have any other option, right? Again, if I, you know, the mashal I gave of the fellow who had the heart attack, God forbid, right? So if you have your cell phone, you can call 911. That's one thing. But if you and your, you know, you and someone else are, I don't know, on an expedition in the middle of the desert, and you don't have cell phone service, and there's nothing you can do to get this person medical attention, and there's nothing, you don't have any medical knowledge to assist the person, all you can do is pray. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt, there is nothing I can do. There's no shadlis to be made. Hashem's like, what do you mean? Just go into the sea. What's the problem? Okay, so that's Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, that Hashem is speaking to Moshe, or speaking to Bnei Yisrael by way of Moshe. V'im kein, but says the Ramban, V'im kein lama amar matitzak elai. But then what are you saying? Why are you saying don't daven? Roy lehem litzok. Of course they should be davening. And even if the leader has to, you know, direct the people, but okay, so while the leader, right, again, while the medical official is tending to the person and giving him physical medical care, so if you're not the doctor, I was once at a wedding and someone choked on something. It was one of the scariest things ever. It was so scary. I literally thought this guy was going to die in front of my eyes. So there were a lot of people who rushed over, doctors, medical professionals, who took care of the fellow, right? So I wasn't going to get involved in that. That's not my business. So I went into the corner and started dominating. Because that was appropriate for me. So in other words, says the Ramban, I don't understand. Right? What should Bnei Yisrael be doing? Moshe, as the leader, has to make decisions. He's got to communicate with Hashem. He's got to figure out what to do. But why is Hashem telling Bnei Yisrael not to daven? Yomar matanicham litzok, and this is, right? This is what Rabbi Yaakov was saying. Matanicham litzok, why are you allowing them to cry out, Dabar lehem v'yisa, be a leader, step up and tell them to move forward. Now, if you're wondering, well, Moshe, how does Moshe even know that? Ki kvar amarti lecha v'ikavda b'paro, because I already told you I'm going to make a spectacle out of Paro. So this is my grand finale, Hashem says. I told you I have one final trick to perform. Okay. However, continues the Ramban by quoting the Medrash, Rabosinu Amru, the Medrash Mechilta says, Shaya Moshe tzoek u'mispalo. Like Rashi quotes, that Moshe himself was davening. V'hu anachon. And that's true, that's correct. It makes sense that that's true. Ki lo yada ma yase. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was also lost. I know Hashem told me he's going to make a final, but I didn't know yet what it's going to be. I didn't know he's going to turn the sea to dry land. V'afo pisha amr lo Hashem v'ichavda b'paro. Even though Hashem said I will be glorified by way of Paro, hu lo hay yodea eich yisnaheg. He didn't know what that's going to look like. Ki hu al svasayam, vasone rodef umasig. He's trapped by the sea. The enemy is chasing umasig. Who knows what the word masig means? Overtaking. No? Come on, guys, help me out. Make me proud. Yeah, get them. Where? No? No? Higia. What does Rashi say? Higia. Excellent. You see, we had that word a bunch of times already. Okay, masig means to either acquire, to overtake, right, or to grasp. So the enemy is chasing and closing in, about to seize them. So he was davening to Hashem, right? Hashem, give me the advice. I don't know what to do, right? You didn't tell me what the final magic trick is. All you told me was, you're going to make a spectacle out of Paro. But look how Hashem responds, and there's a tremendous nuance in this. However, look at this. Ma titzak elai. Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you davening? Shehayisa tzorech lisho ma ta'aseh ve'ein lecha tzorech litzok. Moshe, why don't you just ask me? Why don't you just ask me? You should ask me ma ta'aseh. What should you do? You know what the Varna in this Ramban is? At least what I hear in this Ramban? Like, have the conversation. You're trying to like solve it in a roundabout way, but just say what you want. Have the conversation more directly. Right? In other words, Moshe's a little confused. He's not sure exactly what Hashem wants. So instead of trying to figure it out in some roundabout way, just ask sometimes. Sometimes you're like in this uncomfortable situation with another person, but it's just bad communication. So Hashem says, there's a time to kind of like daven or seek, you know, a different pathway to get that information. And sometimes you have to ask the person, like, what's going on? Talk straight. I already told you, ki kvar hodaticha. Again, it's not so much guesswork. I already told you, ikhav da v'paro. I told you I'm going to do something. So the next question, right, is, well, what are you going to do? Just ask me the question. Velosi perakos of tzakas Moshe ki hu bechlal Yisrael. And then the Ramban ends off just being sensitive to the pshat. And why does the Torah not mention that Moshe was davening? Because it said, B'nai Yisrael davening, and Moshe was part of that davening. But it's a combination, again, of what Yaakov said and what the Ramban is saying, that number one, where's the leadership, right? The leadership is, if B'nai Yisrael are davening and you know what the plan is, so implement the plan, tell them what to do. That's Aleph. And second of all, right? And second of all, if you're not sure, Moshe Rabbeinu, so just ask me. Just communicate with me. Now, we don't always have that opportunity because we don't get to talk straight, pal-pah, like Moshe did. Right? But also, on a certain level, we have to sometimes ask, like, what does Hashem actually want me to do? Right? Am I connecting to Hashem in a roundabout way and kind of avoiding the face-to-face conversation with Hashem? I understand our face-to-face conversation with Hashem is a little bit different than Moshe's face-to-face conversation. Yes. Yaakov Yehuda. Yaakov Yitzchak. Okay, let's hear.
Isn't it possible Moshe also, like we've seen with his character, that he has like growing pains of like growing into his character, being a leader, and like
right.
This is just like kind of another example of him
for sure.
Totally trying to just get into that role.
100%. Again, on a very, you know, again, we have like the Moshe Rabbeinu, like, wow, Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we have like Moshe Rabbeinu stuck at the Yam Sof with a lot of people screaming and feeling scared. Like there's a very, again, if you're open to the, like the human element of it, which I am, it doesn't take away from Moshe's godless. So then he's a little overwhelmed. So Hashem says, Moshe, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to just say, I'm not sure what, you know, just ask. Like what's, you don't have to try to figure it out. You can just say, I don't know what you're talking about. You said something, but I didn't chop. Like, can I ask you to clarify? That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
To me, this is also a huge lesson in, like, the day-to-day world. Like, probably the only lesson I learned from a book that I read in high school was in the last lecture, he was kind of just saying that, like, a lot of times in life, like, people are scared to ask if they think they're going to say no.
Right.
But if you kind of just ask what you want, you never really know what they're going to say. So
right.
Let's say it's, like, you're a firm guy working in a non-firm office and you're trying to get some days off. Like, you don't know what he's going to say. All
right.
All you got to do is really ask and see what happens.
Right. Don't be
scared. Okay, fine.
Right.
Then you didn't ask.
Great point. Yeah, sometimes you have to, right, you have to be willing to ask. All right, what's the worst that'll happen? They'll say no. Hashem will say to Moshe, I'm not ready to reveal my plan. Okay. So then I'll go back to davening. But again, it shows like this, almost this, you know, extreme responsibility to be mishtadel on a certain level. Right? And you hear Moshe Rabbeinu, you could have just asked for a little more information, and you didn't. And therefore, Hashem says, you know, I would have been happy to tell you what the plan is. It's a lot going on here in this little pasuk. Okay, let's go to pasuk Chaf Aleph. It's time to split the sichevra. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayet Moshe es yado al yam. Moshe raised his hand over the sea. Vayolech Hashem es hayam beruach chadim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yolech. Hashem moved or drove the waters beruach chadim with a powerful eastern wind. Right? Azah. It was Az. It was strong. Kol ha-layla, the whole night. Vayasam es hayam l'charava. The water turned, the sea turned to dry land. Vayibaku hamayim, and the water split. Why did Hashem choose to make Kriyas Yam Suf by sending a strong eastern wind? Why didn't Hashem, kivyachol, snap his fingers and split the water and make it to dry land? It's almost like there was a process of drying the land. So says the Ramban, a beautiful thing. Hayiratzon lefan of Yisbarach livkoa hayam beruach kadim miyabeshes. Hashem wanted to split the sea, to dry the sea with an eastern wind that had the ability, miyabeshes, to be miyabesh, to dry out the water. To give the impression that it's almost a natural occurrence which is drying the sea. We've mentioned many times that if Hashem wants us to live with humility, and Moshe Rabbeinu became our leader because of his quality of humility, right? So that's a midah of Hashem. Hashem also operates with humility. Hashem doesn't like to show off. Hashem only likes to step out if he has to, and Hashem is a Kel Mistater, a God of concealment. He likes to make his miracles in a way that is somewhat natural. Why does Hashem do that? So again, I'm telling you the Vard is humility. That's not exactly what the Ramban is going to say here, but that's also true. Why did Hashem make this final display of his might? On the one hand, it's so wondrous. On the other hand, Hashem did it almost as if there was like some type of freak accident, some natural occurrence. This strange, you know, winds that somehow dried out that particular spot at that particular moment. Such good luck the Jewish people had. Why did Hashem do it that way? Again, similar pasuk we have elsewhere in Tanakh. Why did Hashem do this? Hiski l'mitzrayim v'yabdeim. He wanted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to cause the Mitzrayim to err so that he'd be able to destroy them. In other words, it was almost like the Egyptians got one last chance to try to recognize God or to deny the hand of God and to attribute everything to nature. Right? You worship the Nile River. You worship your dependency on nature. You worship the mazalos. You worship the sheep, which we said was the first of the, you know, the horoscope of Nisan, the strongest of the mazalos. You feel subservient to a natural order. So Hashem said, I'm almost going to like test you by making my final display of my might look natural. That a person could try to scientifically explain, oh wow, look at the auspicious timing. How the strong eastern wind arrived at just the right moment to save the Jewish people. So that they could perhaps think that it was the wind that in fact dried the sea. V'lo yad Hashem asazos bavur Yisrael. Not that there was a higher power, a God, who was doing this on behalf of his people. And even though there's a part of them that should say, hold on a second, is this physically possible? The wind split it into paths? Different traditions, how many paths there were through the sea. Let's say 12 paths for the 12 tribes. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess it could be. The wind is hitting at just the right angle, so it's splitting it into... There were signs there that they should have been able to say, this is not natural, but in their madness to hate the Jewish people, as we learned yesterday, right? Hashem made them crazy in their hatred to even follow us into the water. So the Ramban doubles down on that right here. Uva'u achareihem, they pursued after them, listen to these words, meirov ta'avasam lehara lehem. Because of their great taiva, they had such a burning desire to harm the Jewish people. There's something irrational about anti-Semitism that goes like above and beyond. We're not perfect. You know, we're not. We sometimes do things that people maybe have a reason not to like us. But the hatred of Jewish people historically is totally unnatural. It doesn't make any sense. It's like there's this taiva to hate the Jewish people. It's what Rashi calls. Rashi writes, right, based on the Medrash, Halacha, Esav sone es Yaakov. It's a law of reality that Esav despises us. We're not that bad. We're not perfect. There's room for us to improve ourselves also. Right? But there was this irrational taiva that caused them to chase into the waters after us. And that's part of, again, it's part of Hashem both testing them, taking away their bechira, and also, in a sense, giving them bechira to choose. Do you see me, or do you see nature? And this is the pshat, that I strengthened the heart of Paro, and they came after them. Shechizek libam lemor erdof oivai v'asigem biyam. V'ein miyadi matzil. V'lo zachar ata ki Hashem nilcham lehem v'mitzrayim. How quickly they forgot that Hashem was defending the Jewish people of Mitzrayim. Like, did you forget all of a sudden, after watching all the Makos and saying, God is right, you chase the Jews out saying, God is right and we're evil and have mercy on us. Next thing you know, you're chasing after them and you're attributing it to nature once again. Have you so quickly forgotten? But that was part of their madness, their inability to acknowledge this truth. Okay? But Hashem was toying with them in this final scene. And again, I think it's also true that Hashem always... Other Rishonim would say, Hashem always likes to operate in nature because Hashem tries to minimize the miracle as much as he can. Hashem doesn't want to overturn the natural order of the world unless it's absolutely necessary. Okay? Good? Okay, let's do a tiny bit from Az Yashir. Let's go to Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. He has a lot on Az Yashir. Again, it's obviously very poetic, so there's a lot to... There's a lot to try to expound, you know? When you're reading a poem, right? And you're analyzing a poem, you're going to have 100 different opinions of what the intention of the poem is. So, lahavdil the Rishonim also, when they read a halakha poem like Az Yashir, a beautiful song, right? So everyone wants to understand what it is that the song is trying to relay. So on Pasuk Yud Aleph, okay, in the second passage, on the words Nora Sihilos, Micha Moicha Be'elam Hashem, Micha Mocha Nedar Bakodesh, right? Just reading the Pasuk, who is like you among the powerful ones, Be'elam, who is like you among the powerful ones, Hashem? Micha Moicha Nedar Bakodesh, who's like you, Nedar Bakodesh, majestic in your holiness, Nora Sihilos, Ose Fela. How would you translate Nora Sihilos? All right, so let's see Rashi. He quotes Rashi for us. Yoru milahagid tihilosav penyim atu. Nora means what? Awesome. Tihila means praise. I'm in awe of praise. What does that mean? Rashi says, I'm scared to praise you, Hashem. You know why? Because there's nothing I can say that's good enough. That's Rashi. Look at the words. Yoru milahagid tilosav. Right? You're so awesome that I'm afraid to say your praises. Pen yim atu. Lest I don't say enough. I don't want to take away. I don't want to say God is good, so God's going to say what? I'm good, but I'm not great. No, Hashem, I didn't mean that. I mean, you're also great. Oh, I'm great, but I'm not the greatest. I mean, no matter what you say, it's going to be limiting. And therefore, Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Lecha Dumia Sihila. Lecha to you, Dumia Sihila. Silence is praise. Less is more. The more I try to say, the more foolish I look, because I can't put God into words. So in a certain sense, admitting that a holy silence is the greatest praise you can give Hashem. Nice. That's Rashi. Nice job, no? Hashem, you're so awesome. No Rasihilos, I don't even know what to say about you. You're so amazing, I can't even put it into words. Okay. V'gam Rabbi Avraham Perash, and the Ibn Ezra similarly explains, Ki kol ha'alim yureim lahal al shmo, anyone who likes to sing praise, a person who normally wants to be appreciative and thankful and wants to be expressive when it comes to describing God, a person who's good with words, a person who's good with art, a person who could paint a beautiful picture to capture the picture of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe like we have on the wall, right? Capturing the fiery personality of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe. We should be nervous to draw that picture also. But God, I can't draw a picture of Hashem. I can try to describe the greatness of a tzaddik, right? And even there, I feel like I don't have the right words. But Hashem, I can't even open my mouth. I don't know what to say. Kol ha'mahalim yireim lahal shmo. Anyone who wants to sing praise, and normally does sing praise, is not sure how to praise Hashem. Ki mi yashmiya kol tilaso. Because who can make known all of his praise? Ve'im chayavim lahal shmo ki hu levado osefela. But I feel a sense of obligation to praise him, because after all, it's all from him. He's the source of all the wonders. So on the one hand, it's like I'm stuck. Like I really want to say my ultimate thanks to Hashem, but I'm scared that I'm going to say the wrong thing or not say enough. Interesting. Similar to Rashi. Ulefi dati, but says our Rebbe the Ramban, I'll tell you another pshat. It's not just that we're scared to praise Hashem because we don't think we can do it. Ulefi dati kitam nora sihilos shehu nora bat tihilos. What does that mean? Nora bat tihilos. You're awesome, you're fearful with praises. Not that we're not praising. Rashi is saying Nora Sihilos means we're scared to praise. Not what it says the Ramban. It doesn't say we're scared to praise. It says our awe is expressed with praise. Or the awesomeness, the fear of you, right? Fearful with praises. What does that mean? Yeah, Mark?
It's like without our praises, about our Tehillos, Tishbachos, or Hashem, he's missing something that can be awful. When we praise and give thanks to Hashem, in a sense, more awesome.
Ah, so you're saying the fear of you is recognized through the way that we praise you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're fearful, right? Fearful, you become feared in the eyes of the world, recognized by us talking about you, by us praising you,
yeah,
by us acknowledging your efforts in the world. Okay, yeah, you can see it.
Yeah.
Good shot.
Except maybe not fear, more like reverence.
Right, reverence. Right. Right, your awesomeness, your reverence is appreciated, right, batahilos, through the praises that we do offer, okay?
Also, it's interesting because clearly we don't agree with Rashi because we say we daven in Shemona Esrei and we praise Hashem so much that it's,
right?
Like, it would be crazy to say, like, oh, you should never, like, talk about Hashem because that's something that we try to do so much.
Right. At the same time, we have a Gemara in Brachos. I think it's Daf Lamed Gimel. Are you Moshe? You can check that for me. Daf Brachos Lamed Gimel. You got the Brachos Lamed Gimel? When you do, you'll check. I think it's Lamed Gimel, where the Gemara says that we're not allowed to really deviate from Shemona Esrei on a certain level, that we're kind of locked into the text, because if we say Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora, fine. So we already have a model of that. Moshe Rabbeinu kind of laid that out for us. But if I start saying more, the Gemara says you end up saying less. The Gemara tells a story. There was someone who got up to Davin and started saying Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora and started adding some other things. To which someone else responded, "Oh, have you finished? Have you finished all the praises of God? Now that you added a few more, so how do I even say anything?" Okay, Tzaddikim gave us a format, right? But we have to realize the danger, right? The Gemara compares it to a person who's a billionaire, and you go over to him and you're like, "Oh, I heard you made $1 million. Million? That's an insult. I'm a billionaire. I'm not a millionaire, right?" So this, you know, lahavdil. But similarly, when we say Hashem, you're great. I'm just great. That's all you say about me. So that's that fear. But yes, we have to daven, and that's what the Ramban is saying. The awesomeness of Hashem is revealed through the praises. Okay, let's see if that's what the Ramban says, like Mark and Yekusiel. Ki yase dvarim no ra'im umishalel b'hem. A little bit different, but maybe similar. That Hashem, you do awesome things, and you are what? And you are praised by them. In other words, when you do awesome and frightening and powerful things in the world, that itself, on a certain level, seems to be the praise. Sha'asa nekamos ba'ovre ritzono. Hashem, when you punish the bad guys, that's awesome, and that's a praise of you. That look, see, God's got it under control. He's paying attention. Hashem holds people accountable. That's awesome. Power is so powerful, and yet He's subservient to you. That's an awesome display of your greatness, that you're in control. Yeah.
Just by saying that line, you're praising Hashem more than saying
like hallelujah. Right, that's true. That's a backwards form of praise. You know, the Rambam talks about how the only way to really describe our knowledge of Hashem is through negative theology, which means what? Saying what God is not. I can say God is not bad, but I can't really. Again, this is a deep philosophical idea, but the Rambam develops it, right? That I can't say what Hashem is, because then I'm defining God. You can't define God. I can say what He's not. Say Hashem is not evil. Say Hashem is not bad. Right? But if I say God is good, it's not enough. Right? It's a whole philosophical approach to understanding and relating to and describing Hashem. Right.
At the end of the point, it says God's in the
correct.
It's not just against one,
right. Hidden in that silence, meaning the cold demama daka is what? Is the silence, meaning Hashem is found in the silence in a certain way. Right, so that's Rashi, right? By not saying, I'm actually saying, that's what Arya is saying. By not saying, I'm actually saying more. Right? Because the second I try to say, I sound like I'm not getting it. When I admit that I don't get it, then I'm saying something really deep. It's a deep thing. So maybe that's part of the silence also, right? Meaning, if I really believe that kol da'avid rachmano letav avid, that everything Hashem does is good, right? And I don't know how to describe, so to speak, what my eyes see as the bad things as good. I don't know how to describe the tragedies that I hear about. I say, oh, that's good. You sound stupid when you say that. Now, there's a truth to that, because everything Hashem does is good. But maybe it's not for me to say, right? I don't have the words to... Right? I know somehow it's a display of your awesomeness, but I don't have the words to say it. So mi kamocha, right? Mi kamocha ve'ilam Hashem, who is like you in your power, Hashem? But I don't always have the words to try to, you know, to express that. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. A lot, very very deep idea. Okay, friends, let's turn to pasuk chav vav. I love this pasuk so much here. Let's go to pasuk chav vav. Pasuk chav vav. We'll start the paragraph. Kol hamachla asher samti b'mitzrayim. You see it? What page? Resh samach. Thank you. Resh samach. By the way, I have two extra copies that are just sitting here. So if anyone wants to borrow them, just claim them for the moment. Can't keep it, but you can borrow it for now. Okay, page Resh samach. Okay, and the Svarim sale opens soon, so hopefully you'll have a chance to partake. Oh, sorry.
Asher.
Yeah? Okay. Thank you guys for looking out for each other. Okay, Pasuk Chavav. Vayomer im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem lokecha v'yashar be'inav tazev v'azanta l'mitvosav v'shamarta kol chukav. Pasuk, very strong pasuk. Right, if you keep all the mitzvos, then what? Then kol hamachla asher samti v'mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. And all of the illness that I brought upon Mitzrayim, I will not bring upon you. Why? Because I am Hashem, your doctor.
Is that a threat?
Is that a threat? In other words, is that implying that, and if you don't behave, all the troubles that I brought upon Mitzrayim, I will bring upon you? That's a good question. I hope not. I hope it's more... You know, I mean, again, there is accountability in a real way. So, it's a good question. Is this like a nicely worded threat? Right? Is this a nice way to say? And if you don't behave, there's going to be punishments, just like the Egyptians were punished. It's an interesting question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Right? Again, let me just roll it back for half a second. Just roll it back to Pesukim. The people come to Marah. And the water is bitter, right? And everyone's complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. What are we supposed to drink? What are we supposed to do? So Moshe cries out to Hashem, and Hashem says, "Listen, take this tree, take this particular piece of wood, throw it into the water, and the water will become sweet." And this whole thing is part of the test. And by the way, right? Hashem says at that point, "Just realize that if you behave, then things will be good, and if you don't." Right? But we don't have the, and if you don't, it's just that's what Avi's asking, right? The pasuk says, you should realize that if you listen, it's Moshe talking here, right? To B'nai Yisrael. If you listen to Hashem, then Hashem has sort of given you this guarantee that I'll protect you, I'll make sure that you stay safe, I'll make sure that you stay healthy. Okay. All right, let's see a little bit inside. Kol ha-machla asher samti Mitzrayim lo asim alecha. All of the illness that I placed on Mitzrayim, I will not place upon you. Lashon Rashi, lo asim alecha, I will not bring it upon you. Ve'im asim, hareheim ki'ilu lo husmu, ki ani Hashem rofecha. And if I do place it upon you, if you do get sick, by the way, don't panic, because I'm your doctor. What? Hashem says, if you behave, right, you're not going to get sick. But I'm a good Jew and I still got sick. Don't worry, I'm your doctor. Well, how did I get sick then? How did I get sick? So, on a spiritual level, right, let's talk on a physical level. You may not like this. And I may not even like what I'm about to say. But let me tell you. If, let's say someone buys me an iced coffee. And let's say they decide to poison my iced coffee. Right? The mashal. Baruch Hashem, I survived. So, right, let's say someone poisons my iced coffee, right? So I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to get sick. So could you have a situation spiritually, and again, some people are going to be very ruffled by this, could it be that someone else does an Avera, right? And I'm suffering because of it. Now you're saying, oh, hold on a second. Is that how it works in the spiritual world? In the physical world, I get it. Lo aleinu, a drunk driver crashes into my car, I could be hurt, God forbid. Right? Even though I did nothing wrong. Right? yet for some reason in the spiritual realm, we find it hard to believe that the guy next to me could do something wrong, and it hurts me. Right? We feel like that's not fair. It's also not fair when the drunk driver crashed into an innocent person, and God forbid that person was killed. That also seems not fair. Right? So is that what Rashi's saying here? Really, lo asim alecha, I'm not going to bring it upon you. And by the way, im asim, but if it does happen to befall you, how did it befall you? Why weren't you protecting me, Hashem? You should know, heim ki'ilu lo husmu, you shouldn't be afraid, it's as if it's not there, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I'll heal you. Ze midrasho, that's the medrash. This is still all quoting Rashi. Upshuto, and the pashup shot is, ka'odim sha'omer, ani hu harofe, hamazhircha shalo lechol dvarim, hamachzir masadim lecholyo. The pashup shot is, Hashem is saying, I'm telling you to do mitzvot because I'm your doctor. And the same way your doctor tells you, listen, buddy, if you keep smoking, it's going to kill you. Listen, buddy, if you don't cut out these foods, you know, your cholesterol is off the charts. So ani Hashem rofecha, not I'm going to heal you, but I'm giving you the advice from the start. Keep the mitzvot because it's healthy for you. It's good for you. That's the pashup shot according to Rashi. Yes?
Is it also kind of saying, like, I'll heal you, maybe not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way? Like, maybe I can give you the sickness to help you grow spiritually.
So that's a Chassidus Shavar, and it's a true Chassidus Shavar. Meaning, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin looks at this pasuk and says, how can you tell me, just ask Pashup Shad, very Pashup, how do you tell me that all of the illnesses I brought upon Mitzrayim I won't bring upon you? Not true. Jews have been sick over the course of history with the same illnesses. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, not the same illness. Chas v'shalom to call it the same illness. Because when Hashem struck the Egyptians with that illness, it was to destroy them. When Hashem puts us through tzaras, it's yisurim, to build us. God forbid to look at it superficially and say, oh, it's exactly the same. It's not the same. That's the chassidish upshot in this pasuk. I have a lot to say about that. And it's a very important teaching, and I'd be happy to share it with you inside. And when a person's going through an illness, it's very important to realize, I don't understand, why am I sick? Hashem, you promised me, kol hamachla, all of the illnesses that you placed upon the wicked people, you won't place upon me. It could be I did averos and I deserve to be punished. But let's say I really believe that I'm innocent and I don't deserve any punishment. So I have to remind myself, it's not the same punishment. Not Hashem never brought a difficulty upon a Jew to break us, to harm us, God forbid. It's always to help us, to build us. It's to challenge us. It's an yisayon. I'm not saying it's a light thing. It's yisurim. It is suffering. But it's yisurim to build the person, not to break a person. Yes, David Tzvi. Right. So that's what Yoni's saying. It's a spiritual cleansing.
It's more like that. You can even, there's always a comeback. It's not that you could, like, then there's never, maybe not even a spiritual cleansing. It's saying that there's always a way to get out of the pain.
You're saying tshuva.
I'm saying tshuva.
Yeah. Ani Hashem Rafecha, meaning the answer to your problems is be a better Jew. That's what the pasuk's saying. Yeah. There's a certain truth to that. Yeah. Yeah. Avremo, what do you want to add?
Yeah. Is it always to build us? Because I feel like there's also a concept of tzaddik or ra lo. So like someone who's a tzaddik and something ra happens and we don't understand that.
Oh, so that's called yisurim shel ava.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes it's yisurim shel kapara. Right? My suffering cleanses my sins. My suffering removes my averos. But if I don't actually have an avera, Hashem is still challenging me. What's going on here? It's what we call yisurim shel ava. It's suffering to reach even higher levels. Right? Again, we can't always be so quick to assume that I haven't done anything wrong. But sometimes we're also frustrated because I don't understand. I don't get it. Why am I going through this difficulty? Okay. But we should always know, and that's the real point. We don't have to necessarily figure out exactly what it is. We should know it's not in vain. And we should know it's not because God hates you. We should know it's not because Hashem is trying to harm you. Okay? The Ramban says, I don't really like this notion that Hashem, as Rofecha, means that Hashem is your doctor in this way. So he gives a different pshat. He says, Aval zo azhara. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? Let's put it back into the context of the Egyptians. I know I skipped two lines. Aval zo azhara. She azhirem shelo yihiyu b'mordov k'mitzrayim. Again, it's really what Avi said at the beginning, which is it's sort of a backhanded warning. It's a warning not to rebel like the Egyptians rebelled. Ki bishamam kolo yinatsu mikol osam achla. Because again, when you listen to Hashem's voice, you will be spared of all this hardship. Ki kol amachla ahi ru'uya lavo al kol over ritzono. Kasher baal mitzrayim shelo shamo elav. Hashem is saying, because again, if you're going to act like the Egyptians, then you're going to be treated like the Egyptians. If you're going to be an over ritzono, if you're going to go against my will, so then of course there's going to be consequences and accountability. Right? I don't want you. It's a warning. It's an ashara. I don't want you to get into that. But that's, you know, the unfortunate reality. Okay? But now go to the next little paragraph. I imagine it's a paragraph. Amar Rabbi Avram. Let's go back for half a second again into the context. What happened? They came to Mara. The water is bitter. Moshe Rabbeinu takes what? Takes a piece of wood. According to Chazal, part of the mystery of this piece of wood is that it was a nes besoch nes. Chazal say he took a bitter herb and he threw it into the bitter water. And bitter plus bitter makes sweet, apparently, in Hashem's world. Okay, so that's part of seeing the Yad Hashem. But the Ibn Ezra adds something very powerful here. V'amar Rabbi Avram. I love this paragraph. Look at this. You know what the sign of taking something bitter and making it sweet is? And you know why this is kind of like one of the first stops on the way out of Mitzrayim? What was the first stop for Egyptians when their world started to fall apart? The Nile, which was so sweet in their eyes, became what? Became so bitter, became blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now reversing the process on Klal Yisrael, taking the bitter water and making it sweet. Look at he writes. This first sign, again, display of Hashem, as we now move forward in the Midbar, is Hefech HaMaka Rishona Shev Mitzrayim, is the opposite of what happened in Mitzrayim. Ki Mei Mehayor Hayu Mesukim. They were so dependent on what? On the potable water of Mitzrayim, the drinkable water, the sweet water, v'hafchom l'ra, and Hashem took it away from them. Ve'elu hayu marim v'ripo osam. And here, Klal Yisrael, look, you can come to a place where the water is naturally what? Totally undrinkable. You come to a water that's so bitter, and yet Hashem says, look how I'm in charge. I turn the bitter water sweet, I turn the sweet water bitter. V'hinei Hashem yasa davar v'hefcho. Hashem says, look, I can do a thing and it's opposite. Ani Hashem Rofecha. I'm the Balabas. I'm in charge here. Alkein Yeshlecha Lira Mipanav. Therefore, you should be in awe before me. Shalo Tamer Bo. Don't rebel against me. Shalo Yara Lecha Kahem. Because you don't want to end up like the Egyptians. You could have something really good and I'll take it away from you. If you're true to me, if you stick with me, you could be in a bad situation and I'll fix it for you, Hashem says. Velahovo so. Love me instead, says Hashem. Ki Yetiv Lecha Kasher Ripa Lechem Hamayim. Because I'll fix your problems just like I healed the water. I turned the bitter water into something sweet. It's a very nice pshat. It's a very nice imagery. Again, contrasting the leaving of Mitzrayim with Mitzrayim's own downfall. All right, Chaver, let's get to the man. We need to learn a little bit about the man. No? We're going to learn about the man. This week's parsha, we get the man. What was the test of the man? Let's go to Perek Tes Zayin. Let's jump ahead. Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. Okay, got to jump ahead a little bit. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Dalet. It starts Hinini Mamtir Lachem. We're not going to start from the beginning. First, he discusses what the word Mamtir means. It's like a lashon of Matar, which means rain. Does it just mean that it's going something that falls because the man falls from the sky? Okay. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Dalet. But find the paragraph that says Leman Anasenu. Leman Anasenu. You got it? What page? Reish Samach Beis Leman Anasenu Hayelech Besorasi. Okay, let me read you the pasuk. Here's the pasuk. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, as they're traveling on, Hashem says, okay, I've got a really special surprise for you. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hinni Mamtir Lachem Lechem Min Hashamayim. I'm going to send down bread from the heavens. I'm just reading the pasuk. By the way, Chaver, there's a fascinating discussion in Halacha. What bracha do you make when you eat the man? Havoti lechem min hashamayim. That's what some say. We say hamoti lechem min ha'aretz, right? That's where our bread comes from. Hamoti lechem, pasuk says lechem min hashamayim. Okay, some say that's the bracha. Others say you don't make a bracha on the man, right? Because the whole idea of a bracha is to be mevarer the ochel from the psolos. We live in a world where everything is a mix of good and evil. of positive and negative, the nutrients you extract from the food, right, and the part that that is expelled from the body. So part of making a bracha is acknowledging the chait of Eitz HaDas, entering into a world of Tov V'Ra, right? But when you have a food that is pure holiness, as we'll see, right? So there's no Tov V'Ra, so maybe you don't need a bracha on the man. Right? There's also other opinions about the man. Very interesting. Anyways, the Pasuk calls it Lechem Min HaShemayim. So the people go out, the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, I want the people to go out and to collect the man, each day's portion, Dvar Yom B'Yomo. And then the Pasuk ends, Leman Anasenu Hayilech B'Sorasi Imlo. To test B'nai Yisrael, if they will follow my Torah or not. Now what does Torah si in this context mean? So Rashi says, will they follow the Torah means, will they follow the rules of the man? That you're not allowed to collect it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to keep it overnight. Torah si is not going on the entire Torah, but the man, right, has its own rules. And this is part of the training as we're on our way to Har Sinai. Are you prepared to follow rules? Okay? Says the Ramban, Leman anasenu hayilech b'sorasi. Quotes Rashi, Im yishmeru mitzvos atluyos bo, will you follow the mitzvos that are connected or dependent upon it, namely the man, shelo yosiru mimenu, you don't leave it over, velo yetzu b'shabbos lilkot, and you don't go out on Shabbos to collect. That's what Rashi thinks the test of the man is. Says the Ramban, ve'inenu nachon, it's not correct. Not the right pshat. You know what the test of the man is? It's much more general than that. Aval hu kamosha amar. Ama achilcha man bamidbar asher lo yadun avosecha. He quotes the pasuk in Devarim. Later on in Devarim, where it says that I tested, Hashem says, I tested the Jewish people with the man that your forefathers didn't know. Lamana noscha uleman nasosecha lehitivcha ba'achrisecha. In order to challenge you, to test you for your benefit. What does that mean? Ki nisayon hu lahem shelo haya biyada mazal. It's very easy for us to look back and say, what do you mean they were taken care of in the wilderness? But you know what it's like every single day to wake up and not know if there's going to be food? And to have that test. So you'll tell me, well, once Hashem established like a pattern that every day they had something to eat. But you never had an extra dollar in your wallet or in your bank account. You didn't have an extra slice of bread in your kitchen. You didn't have any food. They had literally nothing. No, right? There were people who had babies in Mitzrayim. They would wake up in the morning hoping that they would have food to feed their children. And there was no other way to survive in the wilderness. They were deep, deep, deep into the desert. There was no makolet to buy food. It was God or bust. And initially they didn't know what's the deal with this stuff. They didn't have like a mesora that this is how it's, right? So again, there's a part of us that still says, well, after the first week or so, they probably were less anxious. No, it was a constant struggle. It was a constant struggle to trust Hashem yom, every single day. Can I walk with Hashem day by day? How many of us are able to do that, right? Any person in this room who's got any money in their pocket or any money in their bank account, right, doesn't fully appreciate the nisayon of the man. We're talking about zero. You have zero. Literally not knowing, what am I going to do for my next meal? There's a different type of bitachon that is built from that experience. I don't bless it upon any of us. But your avu elav, right, that they were hungering for it. V'im kol zeh shamu lalechas acharei Hashem b'midbar v'lo mekom lechem. What does Hashem say? Everyone knows the pasuk. What does Hashem say? Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. Hashem says, I remember our earliest days together. When we first met each other, we were first falling in love on our way to the chuppah. Right? The beginning stages of our dating, that's what this is. Where you trusted me, you had such trust in me. Right? Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. How did we trust Hashem? Lechtech acharai b'midbar. You followed me to nowhere. And I said, I'll take care of you. You didn't have a penny to your name. And I took you very far away from any place where, you'd be able to find work or find bread, find a natural way to sustain yourself. You totally trusted me. And that's the Nisayon of the man. The Nisayon of the man is, are you prepared to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu step by step? That's the real essence of the Nisayon of the man. And on a certain level, you could say, you know, when the pasuk says, "I'm testing you, are you going to follow my Torah?" That's really part of the test. You know, are you going to follow every aspect of the Torah? Are you willing to trust me entirely? When I ask you to, I don't know, when I ask you to do something that's difficult, like many of the mitzvahs sometimes feel, are you prepared to do it? To follow me, to trust me? Or are you going to try to come up with your own plan? Are you going to try to stockpile the money? Are you going to go out on Shabbos to try to find a little extra money? All right, are you going to overstep in terms of that line of bitachon and eshtatos? Okay, cover last piece for today. Let's turn to Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes. Go to Perek Yud Zayin. It's a, you got to jump ahead. Not Tes Zayin, but Yud Zayin. Go to Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Tes. And now we're getting ready to fight against the Amalek. And Moshe Rabbeinu is davening a lot. There's a lot of davening by Amalek. So I want to just end. Ramban has taught us a lot of Yesodos in Tefillah. I want to just end by highlighting the fact that as much as we began today by saying, Matitzake Lai, Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you davening so much? Put more Ishtadlis in. But sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes I'm getting carried away with my Ishtadlis, and I have to realize that this situation calls for not regular Tefillah, but extra Tefillah. Extra Tefillah. When you're dealing with an Amalek, which is a very scary enemy, you need to daven extra. You need to put in extra effort. Okay? Go to the paragraph that says, V'haya kol ha'inyan hazeh. Do you have that as a paragraph?
Yeah. Which paragraph?
Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes, but it's not the beginning of the piece. It's V'haya kol ha'inyan hazeh. Top left, okay, for that edition. V'haya kol ha'inyan hazeh. Again, Moshe standing, his hands are raised. He's hoping the Jewish people are going to defeat their fiercest enemy, their first enemy, Amalek. Okay, and we'll see how the Ramban connects it to our final battle before Mashiach. It's a good piece to end on. Give us a bracha from the Ramban. Give us a mission statement. Vayakol ha'inyan hazeh sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu. This whole inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu, praying and praying and working so hard to keep his hands raised towards Hashem, davening on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Mipnei shaya Amalek goy eisan vechazak ma'od. Because Amalek, chavra, it's less than 30 days to Purim. Just about. Just about. By the end of this week, we'll be within 30 days of Purim. Shloshim yom kodem achag, time to get ready. Not there yet, but it's right around the corner. No? Sunday night is 30 days to Purim. That's crazy.
Wow.
Which means it's 60 days to Pesach.
Wow.
That's also really crazy.
Whoa.
Okay, so Amalek is coming. We got to be prepared to battle. So Amalek was a nation that was very chazak. Yisrael Einam Melumde Melchama. And the Jewish people, as much as we left Mitzrayim, we learned yesterday with weapons in our hands, we were not trained in battle. Amalek are a bunch of fierce warriors. They've got a lot of battle experience. You know what we have? We have pyramid building experience. Right? We don't know how to use our weapons. Right? You can picture some, you know, some yid on the battlefield like holding the gun backwards, like, oh bro, turn it around. Like you're you know, like, oh, I don't know how to use this thing. Right? And Amalek's standing there mocking us. The late sonnets of Amalek, they're laughing at us. Yeah, so Amalek's a very fierce people. We're not trained in battle. V'lo ro sameolam. We never saw a battle in our life. We don't know the first thing about fighting a war. Kasher amar peni nachim ha'am b'rosim milchama. Well, how did the Parsha begin? Right? That's how did B'shalach begin? How did this Parsha begin? Hashem says, I'm going to take you on a roundabout route. Why? Because God forbid you're going to see a war and you're going to go running back to Mitzrayim. You're going to be terrified. I don't know how to fight a battle. I don't know about fighting a war. More than that, v'haya ayef v'yageya, kakasa v'mishnah Torah. It says later on when the Torah describes our encounter with the Amalek, they took advantage of us, dafka because what? We were exhausted. As much as we're excited to be free and we have a certain upbeat confidence that we are, you know, projecting as we learned yesterday, but the bottom line is we're slaves. And we're exhausted. And therefore, Moshe is very nervous. And you know what you do when you're really overwhelmed? You daven more. That's what you do. It sounds like a contradiction to what we learned in the first piece today. You understand that it's not a contradiction. Think about it. Al-Kain pachad mehem. Moshe was very afraid, practically very afraid of Amalek, rightfully so. V'hutrich l'chol ha'tfilah v'hatchina hazos. And therefore, this situation called for more prayers, more supplication. Again, When the situation is more demanding of tefillah, we have to daven all the time. Yeah, but when you hear there's a situation that calls for more prayer, So get together and daven harder. Okay? Let's finish the piece. Vayitachin shepachad Moshe pen yis gaber becharbo mipnehe yoso am nochel acherev mibirchas hazaken shomer lo v'al charbo chatichya. And if you're wondering, if you want to roll it back, you want to understand why Moshe is so afraid of Amalek, because they have the power of the cherev, they have the power of the sword, going back to the bracha, right, that Yitzchak gave to Esav, Achar b'chatichya, Amalek is the what is the heir to the throne of Esav, of Edom, and Esav was told what, you're going to be live by your sword, you have the power of the sword, and therefore it's not just, you know, that we don't know how to fight, it's that they really do know how to fight. In fact, they have a bracha, an ancient bracha from a tzaddik, that they're going to be good in battle. Ki emolchama min ha-mashpacha azos, hi ha-rishona va-achrona li-Yisrael. Because, listen to these words, because the battle against this family that we call Amalek, which is an extension of Esav's family, is the first battle and is the last battle. Ki Amalek mizera Esav, u-mimenu ba-ilenu ha-mulchama b'reishas ha-goyim. And therefore, it's not surprising, as we first became a nation, Amalek is the first one to attack us on our way out of Mitzrayim. U'mizara shel Esav hayu lanu ha-galus v'achorban ha-achron. And Chevra, what galus are we sitting in right now? We don't usually call it galus Amalek. We call it galus Edom. But it's also galus Amalek. It's also galus Amalek. Okay? It's late. I don't want to get into it now. It's definitely galus Amalek. Yeah? It's galus Amalek. Galus Amalek and galus Edom are the same thing. Yeah, the Medrash says, Tohu is Galus Babel. Bohu, Madai. Choshech, Yavan. Tohom is Edom. What are the words right before the word Tohom? Alpenei. What's the matter of Alpenei? Amalek. Okay, so Amalek is part of the fourth Galus. Right, fine, good. So Amalek and Edom is one thing. It's the heir to Esav's throne. So Chevra, we've been in 2,000 years of Galus right now. This is Galus Amalek. We're battling Amalek right now. We're battling Amalek right now. So this is, they brought about the final Chorban, the Romans. That's Edom, that's Esav, that's Amalek. They destroyed the second base of Mikdash. Kasher yomu raboseinu sha'anachnu hayom begalus Edom. Kasher yinutzachu, but when we finally defeat Amalek once and for all, after nearly 2,000 years of galus, v'yechaleishu v'amim rabim asher ito, and we take out Amalek, and Amalek, very interesting, says the Ramban, Amalek and those who are with him, which is amazing because Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about the idea, and it wasn't his own idea. Sometimes people think the Rav created this idea. A lot of tzaddikim said this idea. Amalek is not only a biological people, Amalek is an ideology. Anyone who opposes Klal Yisrael can be called Amalek. It's hinted to in this Ramban right here. When we weaken him, va'amim rabim asher ito, and all the other nations who are partners of Amalek, that's also called Amalek. Mimenu nivashal li olam, then we'll have the final redemption. Kasher amru va'alumu shi'im har tzion lishpot es har esav v'haysa la'ashem hamalucha. V'hine, last line, kol asher osu Moshe v'yoshua imahem barishona yasu eliyahu u'mashiach ben Yosef imzara. The same battle that Moshe and Yoshua are beginning at this time is the same battle that Eliyahu and Mashiach ben Yosef are going to have to fight on our way to the final geula. Al-Kain his amates Moshe b'davar. And therefore, why did Moshe take this so seriously? Because Moshe, Maisa avo simon labanim. Moshe understood that this is the battle that's going to bring Mashiach. It's only when we uproot Amalek and Edom and Esav completely that will be zocha to the Gula Shlema. Okay? Avi.
Was Amalek aware of this, that the Jews are their sworn enemy?
That's a great question.
Keep that Masorah from Esav.
That's a great question. How does our parsha end? Milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. This is God's battle. Right? This is God's battle in every generation. But you're asking, does Amalek understand that? So I'll end, I'm happy you asked that question. It's a great question in general. I'll tell you what Rav Gedaliah Shor once said. The word Gedaliah. Because we have a lot of Torahs about, and we're going to have, you'll see. I've got stuff planned for you, Chevra, for Purim. Ooh. Haman's going to be such a genius. So Avi's getting a head start on that question. Did Haman really know all the Torahs? When the Arizal says, this is what Haman was trying to do. Really? Was Haman such a bucky in Kisari? Did Haman know all the Vartlach? Haman had all the Gematrias worked out. Haman knew all the Cheshbonos. When Paro did like this, or he said, oh, Yavan did like this, right? Did every Greek soldier on the battlefield on Hanukkah, Did they understand they were fighting the Or HaGanos? Really? They were so holding in Torah? So Gedalia Shur answers this question in his Sefer Or Gedaliah. And he answers it with one line of a Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, I think it's Daf Gimel. The Gemara says a phrase, Afal pi di'ihu lo chazi, mazlaihu chazi. Sometimes a person doesn't see something, but their mazl sees something. In other words, they sense something. Could a malik explain to you, right, in words exactly, you know, how they were trying to undermine all of the godliness of the Jewish people? They probably couldn't, right? But in a certain way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing, right, and even controlling their hearts, and right, there's a sense that Haman knew exactly what to do, Paro knew what to do, Achashverosh knew what to do, all the Rishonim knew what to do, and there's a certain hashkacha in it that we can look back now in Tavshin Pei Gimel and say, this was Haman's evil intent, this was Paro's evil intent, this was Achashverosh's evil intent. It wasn't something that he understood here in his mind, but it was something he understood here in his heart. I think that's a good way to say it. It's a very important question. Okay, Shkoyachem, we'll stop here for today.